2 Samuel chapter 24, David takes a census. That's when you number how many people you've got. Now, it was allowed to take a census under the law of Moses, but they had to pay half a shekel. All the people numbered had to pay a temple tax. So I suppose it wasn't very popular when the king or somebody said, let's take a census, because the people had to pay this half shekel as a temple tax. Well, the Lord was angry with Israel again, and he made David to bring trouble upon them. The Lord said to him, you go and count the people of Israel and Judah. Now, the records of Samuel and Kings and Chronicles are to some degree in parallel. That is, they record a lot of the same incidents, but in different language. Just as in the New Testament, you've got the four Gospels that record the same things, but from different standpoints. So in 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1, it says, and Satan provoked David to number Israel and Judah. Here it says that God made Israel number Israel and Judah. So God acted as a Satan, as an adversary. So it just shows that the word Satan does not mean anything bad of itself. It just is a word that means an adversary, an opponent. You see that with Peter when Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan, you adversary. So Peter was not a dragon with horns and a long tail or whatever. He was a person who was acting as an enemy or an adversary going against the will of Jesus at that time. So the word of itself does not mean anything bad. It's just that sometimes in the New Testament it is used figuratively to describe sin and to describe our temptations which are within us, because these are our greatest Satans, our biggest adversaries. So here in 2 Samuel 24 verse 1 it says that the Lord or Yahweh said to David, go and take a census, go and number the people of Israel. And in 1 Chronicles 21, it says that Satan said this. The adversary provoked David. So David ordered Joab, who was the commander of the army, go with your officers all over Israel, throughout all the tribes, from Dan to Beersheba, and number the people, and bring me word again. But Joab said to the king, may the Lord your God make the people of Israel 100 times more numerous than they are, and may you live to see him do this. But why do you require this? But the king made Joab and the officers obey his orders, so they went out from his presence and began to count the people of Israel. So then what this means is that I think Joab realized that, yeah, the people probably won't pay the temple tax. And God had said that if you don't pay the temple tax, which they had to pay when they were numbered, then there will be a plague upon you. Joab thought, yeah, I bet they won't agree to be numbered because they don't want to pay the temple tax. He says to David, look, forget it, don't do it. Just believe that God's going to give you all the numbers of people that you need. They crossed the Jordan and they camped south of Aroer in the territory of Gad. And from there they went north to Jazer, on to Gilead and Kadesh, then to Dan, and from Dan they went west to Sidon, they went south to Tyre, and to all the cities of the Hivites and Canaanites, finally to Beersheba. And after 9 months and 20 days, they came back to Jerusalem, having gone over the whole land. And they told the king that the number of men who were capable of taking the sword, that is, capable of going into the army, were 800,000 in Israel and 500,000 in Judah. But after David had numbered the people, his conscience smote him, and he said to the Lord, I have sinned in doing this. Forgive me, I have done foolishly. Well, there is such a thing as false guilt, that's feeling guilty when you don't need to, and true guilt, when you really do feel guilty rightly for your sins. And I think this is an example of false guilt, of where he feels guilty for this when he needn't have felt guilty. Because it was not a sin to number Israel. The sin was in the people not paying the temple tax. The Lord said to Gad, who was the prophet who spoke to David, go and tell David that I give you three choices. You are to choose. So Gad, the next morning, came to him and asked him, What is your choice? 3 years of famine in the land? Or 3 months of being defeated by your enemies? Or 3 days of plague in the land? Tell me what answer I shall return to the Lord. David replied, I am in an awful situation, but I prefer just to fall into the hands of the Lord and not into the hands of men, for he is merciful. So David understood that God is actually more merciful than men. God is kinder than men. That's an amazing idea. God is kinder than man. We all have a tendency to be rough and to be unforgiving, but God is gentle and God is more forgiving than man. That's a great comfort. So God chose, and the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, which lasted from that morning until the time he'd chosen. And from one end of the country up to the other, 70,000 Israelites died. Now, if it was simply David's fault that this happened, well, it seemed a bit unfair that 70,000 people die. And I suspect they died because they didn't pay the temple tax and they mocked the idea of paying this tax. The tax would have then gone to the sanctuary. So when the Lord's angel was about to destroy Jerusalem, God changed his mind about punishing the people and said to the angel who was slaying them, stop, enough. Now the angel was by the threshing floor of Araunah, a Jebusite, that is a man who lived in Jebus or Jerusalem. And then the rest of the chapter explains how it came about that the angel stopped exactly there. David saw the angel who was killing the people and said to Yahweh, I have sinned, but these poor sheep, what have they done? Punish me and my father's house. That same day, the prophet Gad came to David and said to him, go up to Araunah's threshing place and build an altar to the Lord. David obeyed Yahweh's commandment and went as Gad the prophet had told him. Araunah saw the king and his officers coming to him, and he threw himself on the ground in front of David and said, my lord, why have you come here? David replied, to buy your threshing floor and to build an altar for Yahweh so that we can stop the plague. Take it, my lord, Araunah said, and offer to Yahweh whatever you wish. Here are some oxen here. You can burn these as an offering on the altar, and you can use their yokes and the threshing boards for fuel to burn them on. Araunah gave it to the king and said to him, may Yahweh your God accept what you're offering. But David replied, no, I must pay you for it, because I will not offer to Yahweh my God the sacrifices which cost me nothing. And so he bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 pieces of silver. Then he built an altar to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And Yahweh answered the prayer and the plague was stopped. So that's a vital principle, that you do not offer to God that which costs you nothing. That sacrifice, if it is to be meaningful sacrifice, involves giving. It means that you are minus. It means that you had something and now you do not have it again. So you don't, for example, buy some really yummy chicken to entertain your visitors when you know that your visitors are vegetarians and they don't eat meat, and think, oh, well, I spent that money buying chicken for the visitors to entertain them. And then like, ah, but I get to eat it. Don't sacrifice what costs you nothing. This is a major principle that we must live by, because this is something that applies to us, because although we don't offer physical sacrifices, our lives are to be a living sacrifice to God.